like I did this morning, being late. I had to arrange for our director, Christine Shaw, to be taken to emergency hospital this morning. So you need to be praying about that. And that's why I was late. Satan doesn't want us to win, you know. And he's been attacking on all fronts. But he's going to lose. Now, I have to say something that I always hate to have to say, because all the majority of the people have to listen while some instructions are given to the two, three, or four that need the instruction. I'm not like an ordinary pastor. We deal with such controversial subjects that I generate a lot of hate from people that it's probably a great compliment that I'm hated by them. Now, there are large sections of the fundamentalist church world, not all of them, the large sections of them, that view me the way the Catholic Church once viewed Martin Luther. As I set people free from their carping, legalistic bondage into the wondrous power of deliverance in Christ and the freedom that we have to work out our faith with God, just the two of us. They hate me. And there's some of them think they'd get a express elevator to heaven to do me in. I have fought for freedom in other areas. Just our basic freedoms in this country. And as you well know, we're in major litigation involving this property. And there are people who seek to gain an advantage in litigation by serving me personally, thereby effectively shutting down this operation for lengths of time while we're deposed or in court or other such activities. I remember talking to Lod Cook during the telethon, when you may recall he was in Dallas on the Monday night that the telethon was going. He was forced to fly to Dallas for a deposition. I said, do you have the problem that I have, most chief executive officers or leaders of organizations in lawsuits try to serve that person individually because they effectively stop the operation of the country? How long do you think this country could operate if they were to depose the president for five consecutive days? This is a tactic of litigation. And they try to serve you personally to harass. A myriad number of things make me more controversial than the ordinary pastor or even some television personalities because of the controversial nature of some of the subjects we deal with. Now, we try to keep the necessity of security down. I got so perturbed for many years when the congregation would stand. I got so perturbed for many years when the congregation would stand at the appearance of the security that would come to the front as if I had to be protected from my congregation. I don't have to be protected from my congregation. The people that worshiped together and have fought together over these years. Frankly, the oddball needs protection from my congregation if they try to do something to me. What we're doing is to try to prevent a problem. Then I'm just old-fashioned. When I used to teach in college, the first 2 weeks I sort of spent my time talking about things that they wouldn't be tested on and which were non-essential, waiting for the first kid or two to get out of line. Then, when I finished making an example of that kid or two, we had a good class the rest of the year. For three consecutive years in running, I was voted the most popular teacher on campus. But every kid on that college knew if they were in my class, they better not even scratch their ear rambunctiously during the lecture hour. I'm old-fashioned in my sense of courtesy in a meeting of this kind. You know, some people, if you have kidney problems, you should sit in the back row. Nobody likes to have your rear end brushing across their face through an aisle of nine people while you get up and go every 5 minutes. I mean, you know, some people need to have a trumpeter march in front of them and bugle so we know their plumbing works, because they want to come in front of everybody so they can let you know that they still have equipment that works. I have been in public speaking around this world, open air plaza meetings in foreign countries where a crowd was a signal of danger. And it seems to me that far too many speakers have always allowed the majority to be abused because of the weak plumbing of the minority or because of the weak heads of the minority. I run a tight ship. This is a university lecture hall. If you didn't come to listen, stay home. Now, there are restrooms in this building, but you don't have to get on TV to go. I mean, the cameras are down here. What I'm pointing out is that always the majority have to suffer because of a few that don't have much smart. And we continually say this is a church for intelligent people. There are enough for the other kind that we don't need to compete there. I know we're in a wide open society today, and I remember my shock when I was first on foreign soil at the signs telling people not to urinate on the post office steps, because I'd grown up in a society where you didn't need to have a sign to tell you not to do that. And it took me a long time to get adjusted. Some of the sites I saw in Calcutta are not for public telling. But it just seems to me that intelligent people, when they have to go, would sort of pick a time. I fail to see the logic of this. My dad's been singing for 30 minutes. And I get up and begin to talk. We stood and clapped longer than I wanted you to. Then, three sentences into my speech, when everybody's sitting down and listening, somebody decides to get up and drag their rear end across five people and make a scene of themselves going out. I think intelligent people had 30 minutes of singing and 5 minutes of clapping. With people standing up, wouldn't you think that your plumbing would give you enough advanced signal that you could go at that least conspicuous time? Now, there are sensitive souls that say, well, you're embarrassing somebody. No, I'm not. I'm pointing out his ability to embarrass himself. This is an intelligent community. Why should I let the nuts take over? That's why some churches have left the downtown. I mean, two or three derelicts that have never been taught to salute in their life but needed a good boot camp in a Marine area are not going to abuse 4,000 people as long as I sit in this chair. You go. You have a reason to leave. You pick a time that's inconspicuous. And if the emergency hits and you can't, then try to run inconspicuously. But go to the rear. Not to the front. If you're in that bad a shape, it might happen on camera. I'd go to the darkened area of the building. You know, I may be the only man in the world that does potty training on television. It's not, you know, I'm a very young man. This gray hair is from having to teach manners to the nation. I mean, don't come down here looking for the bathroom. Go back there where ushers stand and let them direct you. They'll lead you there if necessary. Now to the serious part. I don't know how many death threats I get on the average of every week. Now, last Sunday, when I left this platform, two men dashed so quickly that they're through the door, going down the stairs when I'm going down the stairs. Now, there are anywhere from a half a dozen to a dozen off-duty, plainclothes policemen in this building doing security. I said to them, let me make a public announcement before somebody gets backed up to a wall and handled for trespass. This is private property. No one who comes to this church, knowing the threats and the problems that are on my life and my sensitivity to not wanting to make an issue out of it, dashes through the door where I'm going out. You're going to create a problem. These security men are trained to prevent it before it happens. They're not amateurs. They're not rent-a-cops. They are full-time policemen off-duty in plain clothes whose job is to prevent a crisis. Now, I'm telling you, if you're in such a bad way, you have to meet me on this stair to get to a restroom. Somebody's going to see to it that you don't have the time to go somewhere else because you ain't going down these stairs. Now, don't create a scene for us, folks, because a word to the wise should be sufficient. When I go out that door, every door there is off limits. And anyone who tries to go through those doors, as those two gentlemen did last Sunday, will be restrained. And how many of you, by a simple raising of your hands, know that what I'm telling you is public knowledge and nobody should have been brainless enough to go through the door in the first place? You sit and read the death threats on me. You won't be running through the door where I'm going down the stairs without expecting these Los Angeles policemen to do what they are on duty to do. And you get embarrassed. How many prefer to be warned and not embarrassed? You say, well, you're a pastor, you ought to be accessible. I've never seen a shepherd let his sheep trample him yet that's got any brains. I respect my congregation. In the style section of the Herald Examiner, Rick Dubrow, who is a good friend, and I've always respected Rick. Rick asked me the question, with the influence and power that you have on television, do you ever worry about, and then he got right to the point, the Jimmy Jones type syndrome? He gave part of my answer. You find me a Harvard, Princeton, Union, Stanford University, any one of those university PhDs that ever formed a cult, and I'll eat my right thumb. And anyone who listens to me teach knows that I'm a seeker as you are. I set you free to work out your faith between you and God. My approach is anathema to some guy that says he is the truth. That's the fundamental message that I preach every Easter on the uniqueness of Christ. Christ is the only respected religious leader in the world that set himself center stage in the religious universe and said, I'm the truth, I'm the way, I'm the light, I'm the door, by me if any man enter in. And any intelligent person hearing anyone talking that way will figure he's either nuts or putting us on. In either case, not worthy of respect. In Christ's case, he died and rose again. That's why I've been willing to take a second look at his unique claims. And there's only one person in history entitled to make claims like that. I'm not the source of truth. We're both looking at it. You and me together and working it out our own way. And I've set you free. Don't meddle in your business or tell you how to live your life. I preach the truth as it is revealed in Scripture, as I can understand it, and leave it with you. I don't even make an altar call. When I'm done preaching, I walk out. We don't take you out of the world. We believe you ought to be salt in the world. That's the only way it can be preserved. I don't have women's gossip societies hiding under the name of missionary societies. I don't create men's fellowships for guys that can't find girls any other way. I teach on Sunday and turn you loose in the world to work out your faith your own way, and I don't believe Christians ought to be freaks. Well, in return, I give you that freedom. By cracking, you give me mine. I don't belong to you. You don't belong to me. I am not your possession as pastor, and you are not my possession as sheep. And in my task to set you free and to preach the truth and to say that a dumb jerk that says that God won't hear Jews and Catholics is probably less in tune with God than the Jews and Catholics that Jimmy puts down. And because I got the guts to say, until Jerry Falwell is a woman, maybe he ought to shut up and let a woman talk about abortion. And because I've got the guts, to say that God isn't some resident policeman dumping on you every time you think you can have a good time, I've made enemies for your sake. I can live with that and do what I have to do. Just remember this, the Pope wears funny hats and he rides around in a bulletproof wagon. At least I haven't done that yet. And I doubt seriously any Catholic can barge into the Sistine Chapel and arm wrestle the Pope on a whim. And I'll be dadgummed if I'm going to be abused in the name of somehow being humble. And the next person that comes up within 3 feet of me to where he can touch me when I'm going down the stairs and breaches the line of security, I'm going to tackle him myself. Now just get that straight and don't push me and intrude on my space anymore. I want to be free to have BO and not have to explain it. You just keep your distance. Now it's offering time. I was going to say, how in the hell can he get any money after that? We be free. By the way, Rick also asked me, he was gentleman enough to not put it in the paper, so I'll mention it. He said, well, you know, I hear you live kind of high, riding a limousine. I said, why not? My money, I pay tax on it. I mean, I'm tired of these other preachers that have 14 snot-nosed kids they're putting through college and 17 insurance policies and four wives and a couple on the side they're supporting, and then because they can't afford to buy themselves a decent car, want me to pay penance for it. I paint, you buy my art, and I said the last time in the world I'll apologize about it. My people don't care. I'm going to ride what I want to ride and wear what I want to wear and do what I want to do in anybody's damn business. I'm just teaching God's word, take it or leave it. I could give you the name of a very famous one on TV that years ago used to park his Cadillac at the Canadian border and rent a Hertz Ford, and he would request one rather used as he went over into Canada so he would be able to raise money better, appearing poor. I teach God's word. If we paid teachers what we pay rock stars, the world would be changed in 10 years, and the highest paid person in the world should be the best teacher in the world. I ain't him, but I'm sure trying my best to deliver it, and I'll be switched if I will ever apologize for my personal life to anybody in this world. It's between me and God, and I'm telling you, your life's between you and God, and it's about time the church grow that way. Now let's take an offering. Clay, storehouse me. We'll see if we get any money.
Dividends awarded to the wise steward man. the cries come on, if on Judgment Day you end up poor as dirt. When you rob the storehouse me, don't expect God to be sweet. In the long run, you're the one who ends up hurt. Now when you rob the storehouse me, don't expect God to be sweet. In the long run, you're the one who ends up hurt, 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 hurt. Don't rob that storehouse me.
I'm glad we got that speech out of the way. It's been about 2 months since I've had to make a speech like that. We welcome all of the people who come here to testify to our faith that God has not had the final word here. I hope that next Sunday we'll see the third balcony packed. But you that have been around for 11 years know that we're never going to compromise quality for quantity. We're going to have people here that are here as a testimonial of respect for God's work and God's word. This isn't a clinic. It isn't a halfway house. Place where intelligent people learn the meaning of their faith. And we intend to keep it that way. Don, we prayed for you. She had a heart attack. This week, we'll pray for Chris. Stand up, Don. Everybody can welcome you here today. Nice to have you. They gave him about a 50-50 chance early last week. He threatened to pull the tubes out of his body if they didn't give him a TV so he could watch. Those are the kind of people that fill this house today. How many are here for the very first time? We won't embarrass you. You can stand, and then I'll have you sit right back down. We just want to welcome you. If you're here the very first time, stand up, will you please? How nice to have you with us. Thank you. You may be seated. And we truly welcome you here today to join us in worship and as we teach in just a few minutes. How many rode the bus? I want to know if we're filling them up. Stand up. Let me see how many were smart enough to ride the buses. Good. You may be seated. One last question. How many are here from the San Francisco or Fresno, out of the Los Angeles area, or out of state? Would you stand, please, so we can welcome you? Nice to have you with us today. I don't consider myself a singer, and suppose I'll survive with that knowledge. But I just feel like singing a song today. Why should I feel discouraged? What key is that?
C.
Where do we normally do it? Huh?
C.
I'm pretty good. I only missed it by one. Go to C. I prefer to C. Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? Your turn.
When Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is He.
For His eye is That time. We're going to do it again.
Why should I feel discouraged? And why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, my constant friend is He. For His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me.
Now hit it, man. Because of its significance to those of us that have sacrificed this year and 2 months before the message, let's do it again, Ron. We did it anyway.
One day Noah had a meeting with folks in his hometown. He said, I've got fantastic news, so gather all around.
The great good God Jehovah has chosen all of you for every special service and much important too. Given me a blueprint of something quite unique, something that will save our lives and lift us to new peaks. Our course affects all mankind with global change in view. And what an honor, people, God has chosen me.
Never, ever be able to understand biblical prophecy until one of the major recipients of that prophecy is recognized and incorporated into prophetic exegesis of Scripture. And Satan won such a victory of diversion in the mid-1800s that the historic church abandoned the subject. And the scholarship that the historic church does bring to matters scriptural and the continual debate among those competent to deal with the matters is gone. Now that major recipient I've been missing this dramatic moment. The house of Israel and the house of Judah are simply not the same. And the Jews begin in and grow out of the house of Judah. All Jews are Israelites, not all Israelites are Jews. The house of Israel, beginning with a split off in the days of Rehoboam, son of Solomon, has continued and will continue until God puts them together again in the last days as described in the 37th chapter of Ezekiel, where two sticks, the stick of Judah and the stick of Joseph, are put together and become one stick, and that is a last day prophetic event. Now, because archaeology and history had clued in the fact that the British Isles became a settling place for those that at least are a part of the so-called lost tribes of Israel, a cult, British Israelism, took over the territory and so distorted the views that were based upon that little germ of truth that the entire church world and much of the secular world was turned off on the subject. Until for a historic churchman to even discuss it is to start the brickbats flying. A historic churchman can't even get on the subject without immediately those who make their living by a little knowledge about alternative points of view and their ability to create a straw man so they can write a book tearing it down, go instantly to the attack. And the baby's thrown out with the bathwater. Now, I doubt that I'll be totally successful, but at least I may be the only historic churchman with the courage to look at the subject. And without looking at the subject and separating the error that produced British Israelite theory, I'm talking about the cult. Pentecostalism, generically, derives from the word Pentecost, the feast of which occurred 50 days after the Feast of First Fruits, and simply means harvest. Because of an occurrence on that day of Pentecost, beginning about the first decade of the 1900s, people across America within the established church began to seek and receive an experience like that of Acts 2, and the generic term Pentecostals was attached to them. You go to Chile, as I've said several times, and if you happen to be of one of those denominations like the Assemblies of God or the Church of God out of Cleveland, Tennessee, or Oral Roberts' old denomination, Pentecostal Holiness, you went to Chile, you were in trouble with your identity. Because to be a Pentecostal in Chile was something